Okay, here we go. We're good to go. All right, Darren. Well, we're going to talk today, of course, about the DVD release of Saw 3. Major, major horror release coming up here so early in the year. Your work in these Saw films is just absolutely phenomenal. It's like you've taken what Lee and James, you know, created in the first one, and you've just really run with it. I thought the third one was excellent. It was one of the best horror films I've seen in a while.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Obviously, you know, continuing on the Saw, and everyone knows who've watched the special features with Saw 2, you know, that was an existing script that you already had. They just kind of morphed it into a Saw film. What about Saw 3? Where'd that come about?
Well, you know, it started as after Greg Hoffman had passed away. Well, first off, Lee, James, and I all decided that we were, you know, that we were really uncertain if we wanted to return to the franchise at that time. And Lee and I talked about a couple of ideas that we thought might be kind of cool, but nothing really ever came of it. I was really close to Greg Hoffman, and he would always talk to me and run ideas by me, but that's pretty much as far as it ever went. When he passed away, James, Lee, and I all got together, and we were sort of reminiscing about him, and then we all started talking that, you know, they're going to make this movie without us. So at that point, we all decided that we wanted to all sign back on and make sure that the franchise maintained its integrity. And that's kind of how everything started. Then James and I and Lee started meeting quite frequently, just talking about if we were to do another Saw, where would it go? Where would we take it? And that's how kind of how everything, it all started.
That's wonderful. Well, I think it's great how, you know, three films into the franchise, I mean, you guys are still staying fresh. I mean, you haven't jumped the shark in any way, shape, or form, you know?
Yeah, it's funny you use that phrase, because I kept saying during throughout the production is, guys, we can't do that. If we do that, we're going to jump the shark. And, it's funny you use that.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I think everyone's come to expect that from a horror franchise. When it gets a couple in, you're thinking, okay, well, here it goes. It's going to get cliched now. And, you know, you haven't done that.
That's what's funny is that every time that, you know, especially every film that comes out now, they're waiting for it to jump the shark. I mean, how many of these can you actually make? And, you know, just on a side note, funnily enough, you know, I just heard the idea of Saw 4, and I was blown away. I was like, okay, they're going to jump the shark on this one. I really thought it. And then I just heard the idea, and I was blown away. So I think there's another couple left before that actually happens.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, James and Lee really set the bar high with, you know, that shock ending. And now, you know, each ending's got to be better than the previous one, and you just kind of end up building yourself into a corner. But, you know, the two you were involved in, you certainly managed to do it in both instances, so.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, being not only a horror director, I'm a horror fan. And I own hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horror movies, and so I watch them and direct them as a fan. Like, what do the fans want to see? And, you know, as a fan, what I'd be looking for.
Right. Well, it definitely comes across. I mean, you can see it there. Now, the third one, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of people's opinion, is much more, or it seems, more violent than two. Was that something that you planned on?
No. I mean, you know, there's really this thing to one-up yourself every time you do a film, especially of a continuing franchise. I don't think that was our intention at all. I think that, first and foremost, it was we had to have a good story. Is there a good story in this thing? I think what made 3 seem more violent or appear to be more violent was what I would like to consider the emotion of the film. This was, I think, by far the most emotional of the Saw films.
Yeah, I have to agree.
That, you know, you're dealing with raw human emotion and not just blood and violence. And I think that you were a lot more attached to characters this time around than you were in the previous films, specifically Saw 2. And I think that so when you're watching someone make these horrific choices, you feel more uncomfortable, hence it feels more violent. So, you know, yeah, there were some disgusting things, and I'm not going to deny that. But I think a lot of it had to do with just the storyline and the subject matter of this one. I think it was a lot more personal, which made it more emotional, which made it more violent.
I know we're supposed to be talking about Saw 3, but I got to ask you, with Saw 2, the fact that was basically you'd already written it. You know, that whole thing with the pit of needles and all that stuff, that was all your...
Well, you know, the basic premise of what I had written in the script originally called The Desperate was the story of a house that was basically an FBI agent was a trapped serial killer. The serial killer had said to him, you know, you can take me in, but there's something more important than me that you should be worried about. And the police detective uncovered a wall of monitors and try to figure out where this game was, where this beat was coming from. But in the meantime, the people in this game were killing each other. And then at the very end, there was the same twist in my original script of Desperate, where the monitors weren't live. That was the Desperate. Now then, Lee and I got together and we added in all the traps, the needle pit, the box scene. That was in my original draft. The scene where Addison had to put her arms in the box. That was in my original draft of Desperate. But everything else was just kind of figured out after that. We adapted Desperate into Saw.
At any point in Saw 3, as you were filming it, did you sit there and look at what you were doing and go, "Oh my God, that's just twisted."
Saw 3, I did. There was many times that I was pretty sure I was going to go to hell.
But at least you have a lot of money.
It all comes from that same place I'm talking about, is that I felt for the characters a lot more in this film than I did in Saw 2. And so, you know, it did disgust me what I was doing to them. I mean, especially the Jeff character with the son. And then, and my favorite was the Bahar character, because here's this character who, I don't think the audience, everyone expected her to die, and then we shoot her. They're like, "Oh my God, they killed her." And then she's back alive. We're like, I knew they weren't going to kill her.
Yeah.
And just to blow her head off. I mean, I remember that day where I was just like, I think we might have just crossed the line. If there is a line, we've just crossed.
The line has been crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know this is kind of a baited question, and I realize your answer, that generally when I ask directors this, I get the same answers. But as you were coming up through school and everything, who were your idols? Who did you look up to?
You know, it's crazy. It changed. It started off Wes Craven. You know, I think that I always mention Wes Craven when I do interviews, because his early works, his first early films, The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left, and any of these movies, even The People Under the Stairs, Nightmare on Elm Street, he was constantly, you know, changing what the horror genre was. And, you know, that was something that I always respected. Quentin Tarantino, I mean, I can still remember now when I was growing up in Kansas, going to see Pulp Fiction, I don't know how many times in the theater. So that was another one. Darren Aronofsky, when I saw Pi, and then saw Requiem for a Dream, seeing how amazing.
That's a great answer. You know what? No one ever mentions Darren's name, and that I'm so glad to hear you say that, because what an amazing talent.
You know, it's funny. I don't get to Star Trek that often, but I ran into Darren Aronofsky at Comic-Con this year. He was doing Fountain, and I had managed to sneak in to his after party, and I ran up to him like a little schoolgirl, and I was like, "Darren, I'm in Darren, too, and you made me want to be a director." And I was just like, "What's your name?" And I told him, and I was like, "I directed Saw 2 and 3, and it was funny, because, like, he really is an idol. I mean, his, you know, people always ask me, what do I think the most disturbing movie that I've seen is, and I can still remember when I saw, you know, Requiem for a Dream the first time, how utterly disgusted I was and disturbed by everything that was going on. And it wasn't violent. It wasn't necessarily a violent movie, as it was that you cared for the characters so much that when all of them met their fate, you were just so disturbed, so disgusted by it.
Yeah, that was...
Aronofsky's been a huge, huge inspiration.
And Vincent Guastini's effects work in that was amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, the whole thing is amazing. The sound, like the Kronos Quartet with Clint Mansa. I mean, everything about that movie in my mind is perfect. So, here's the continuum. Even Fountain, I just found amazing, amazing film. Accomplishment. And the other people that, you know, I really respond to is people that just say fuck it to everyone else, like the David Lynch's and the Jim Jarmusch's, that, you know, that it's not, they've never sold out. It's just they make movies that make them happy. And, you know, a lot of the movies, you know, admittedly, I'll watch and I have no idea what the fuck I just watched. That's why I love it, is because they don't care.
Right.
And, you know, that's the kind of filmmakers that I love to take risks.
So what do you think of your inclusion in this? I'm hearing more and more of this splat pack. I'm sure you love... have you heard about this?
Yeah. That's great. What, no, so, I mean, that's a great... I'm glad I can be involved in something that's gained a title like that and hopefully will become a part of pop culture. You know, it's funny. Only if it's for my second film, to be included with the likes of some of these people is great.
It's got to be kind of surreal sometimes, huh?
What's that?
It's got to be kind of surreal sometimes for you.
No, it is. It is, but... I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that. It just all seems surreal. Like, 2 years ago, I was, you know, broke, living on people's couches, and didn't know if I was going to have to move back to Kansas City or not. And now, here I am being included with the likes of, you know, Alexander Nostalgia and Rob Zombie and all these other people, which is, you know, it's great.
Well, and as fans, it's great for us to see the future of the genre in such good hands. You know, that we were getting, you know, the old guard was getting old. You know, the Cravens and the Romeros and the Carpenters.
Right.
You know, and you know, in the last couple of years here, you guys have all sprung up, and you know, I think the future of the genre is fantastic as long as you guys decide to remain in it.
And I think you're going to see some really interesting things in the next couple of years, especially from where horror is going to go from this point. You know, it's going to be interesting to see the next turn it takes, and especially the next films I'm going to be doing.
Anything you can talk about, or everything's still pretty hush hush?
No, I mean, there's a couple of things that I can definitely say are on the horizon. There is a rock opera that I want to do next. It's based on an off Broadway play that I actually directed very early on in my career when I directed it. We did it in Los Angeles. These two guys wrote it. They then went on to keep doing it. They just got off Broadway. It's a horror rock opera, and it's more violent than Saw, but in a much, much different way. And we just actually shot a promo piece for it, and I've been showing it around town now to different execs to let them see, you know, how cool this is. I'm sick of people rehashing the same thing over and over and over again. Horror is not just gore films. Horror is not just splat films, and you know, all of a sudden there's so many subgenres of horror, and I want to take it to the next level. And so this really exciting project that I'm working on is this thing called Repo, the Genetic Opera. And it's a rock opera, but it's horror. And it's fucked up, it's violent, it's the music is pounding, it's like Nine Inch Nails and Tool and that style of music, but set in a horror genre kind of background.
Excellent. That sounds promising.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. And there's another thing. I'm really also into this true crime recently, and there's, you know, hopefully if everything goes right, I'm going to be doing a series of true crime pictures of real story. Basically, you know, to show people that anything that I think of, any fucked up ideas that I come up with, will never touch what real life really is.
You can't make that shit up, yeah.
No, and there's, you know, I own a couple, I have a rights to a couple of books on true incidents that are so shocking that they almost seem fake. I remember the first time I turned one of the drafts of the script in, they were like, no one's going to buy this. And I was like, they don't have to buy it, it's real. And I produced the newspaper articles and all this other stuff, and everyone's mouth just dropped when they saw this was all real. And so that's also exciting as well, that this thing's knowing that it really could happen to you.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. We're all excited about the Saw 3 DVD.
Well, excellent.
Keep up the good work, Darren, and I'm sure...
Right, one thing to push the Saw 3 DVD, two things, actually.
Yes.
Is, you know, we had a massive, massive issue with the MPA this year, and, you know, that we were really, really lucky on Saw 2, and Saw 3, we were not that lucky at all. You know, Saw 3, they came in at us and came in at us hard, and a lot of the stuff that I wanted in there got cut out, so it's exciting to actually have a platform to put the stuff back in. I think in Saw 2, it was only, like, I don't know, a minute more stuff in there. And this one, there are complete scenes rethought out.
Wow.
That you know, I think it's only 8 minutes longer, but we had to completely re-edit the scenes for the theatrical cut. And so while the scenes might not be that much longer, they're completely different. Like the twisting scene is completely different in this version. The rib scene, where the ribs get ripped open, is a completely different version of it.
Excellent.
And that's kind of exciting. I'm excited the fans can actually get to see the original intended version what we originally submitted to the MPAA.
Get to see what they cut out.
Trust me.
Fantastic. Well, I know I'm looking forward to see it. I can't wait. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir. We'll get the word out and make sure the fans know it's there.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.